We're going to go on through Isaiah, as we've been doing. This is a prophecy about the mercy of God and His desire that we prosper. It's a promise, huh? It's described in terms of what's around us and what affects our body, but it's a prophecy. Now, the fullness of this prophecy is yet to be realized. And that's okay. There's one beautiful text that St. Thomas, Isaiah 51:3, he quotes it all the time about when there will be unceasing and uninterrupted praise. And St. Thomas says, that's heaven. So, in other words, there's a text in the letter to the Hebrews, you see, that tries to describe, and does describe, it's the word of God, our situation. The text is describing the law. And it says the law, the Torah, having a sketch, a skia, of the good things to come, but not the very icon of the realities. So now there's three stages in God's plan, right? There's the stage of the shadow or the skia, the stage of the icon, and the stage of the full realities. Huh? We're in the middle one. So we've gone from sketch to icon. Well, what's an icon? Well, look around, see what icons are. What is an icon? It is the reality present, but not under the form that is proper to that reality. A little early in the morning for that? Did you get that? You see, the perfect icon is the Eucharist. Because there we have the reality, the risen, glorious, merciful, powerful Jesus Christ in all the glory and beauty of His resurrected and ascended humanity, surrounded by angels, saints who worship Him, right here, but not existing in the mode that's proper to the glorious Jesus, which is heaven. Does that make sense? So these icons, you see, are not pictures. You see? They are meant to be that reality brought to us, but not, it's a picture. It's not Our Lady. But it's a more powerful way of having her present. Okay. So, there is the sketch, the icon. In other words, we have eternal life. And we have all that makes for eternal life. But in icon. And the last one is talked about is the pragmata, the realities themselves, you see. The law not having, or put it the other way, having a sketch of the good things to come, but not the very icon of the realities. That's the text. And so this is a sketch of the good things to come. It's real. The blind are healed. The deaf do hear. This is real. But you see, the icon is the Eucharist. It's the proclamation of the gospel. You see, when the deaf shall hear the words of a book. What book? This book. The deaf will hear it. The physically deaf, I've told you before, some of us, when preaching, or put it the other way around, when some of us have said to one another that we know that when we're preaching, the deaf are healed. I know this happened to me twice, and I know others who have had this experience as well. Why? Because the word of the Lord can heal. That's what it says. The deaf shall hear the words of a book. It happens while the good news is being preached. And so this visionary, this mystic, sees the reality, the skia. He sees it, and he speaks of it in all these terms. Out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. This is supposed to be happening every day. You see? And this is nothing. You know what I mean? It's plenty. But it's the eyes of the Spirit opened up and gazing in faith on the radiance and beauty of the face of Christ. That's for us this time. And then one day we see Him. And that's the realities, you see. So the lowly will ever find joy in the Lord, and the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The lucky ones, like Our Lady. Lowly, you see, and poor. The favorites of God. You see? And then the tyrant will be no more. The arrogant will have gone. Do you see that this prophet is a mystic? And he sees in a vision, intellectual vision, God's plan for the future. And he describes it. You see? And all who are alert to do evil will be cut off. Those who mere words condemn a man. No more. Now we're getting to the deeper corruption. Nature doesn't produce good fruit all the time. Lebanon is going to be like such a dense orchard of beautiful fruit. It's going to be like a forest to get yourself through. See, that's fine. And then, on another level, there will be justice and respect among human beings. Okay? And then the final promise. The God of the house of Jacob says, the one who redeemed Abraham, now Jacob shall have nothing to be ashamed of, nor shall his face grow pale. Wouldn't that be nothing to be ashamed of? That's the power of the blood of Christ. There's a promise. God is promising. I see you, I see your sins, I see even you're bright enough to be ashamed, but I promise you, my forgiveness will wipe them out. That's the promise. Now, that's realized in one way, you know, at baptism, in confession, in a general, just a regular repentance every day. You see? But there is a time when someone knows they are forgiven. They know they are forgiven. They know they don't deserve it. That's the gift of tears. To see your true state through the eyes of Jesus Christ is to see what sin, your sin, my sin, really is. And that's what's forgiven. And we see that through the eyes of Jesus Christ, and therefore we weep tears of gratitude and repentance. That's a gift. So, when you come to a text like this, you see, when his children shall see the work of my hands in its midst, when right on that cross my own son dies in an act of love and sets the whole world free, you see, then they shall keep my name holy and reverence the Holy One of Jacob and be in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in spirit shall acquire understanding, and those who find fault, those who murmur, shall receive instruction. The mercy of God. I'll heal you physically. I'll heal you psychologically. I'll forgive your sins, all in the power of my Son. Now, as I say, there's the sketch, the icon, then the reality. So we're not there at the reality, but one day we will be. That's the promise. This isn't all there is, folks. You know, there's more. So this is why the church takes these mystical texts, I guess I could call them, prophetic texts, and says, ponder them. Let the Holy Spirit, my blessed Holy Spirit, prepare your hearts so that I can come to you in a new way when the whole body of Christ is celebrating the presence of my Son among you, that big in a little manger. But that's the Savior of the world. That is the Lord of glory. That is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. This mysterion, you see. So we're not playing games. We're not pretending Jesus is coming. And, you know, this is what's going on. And we're being moved to it, to repent of our sins, you see, to open up to receive the forgiveness of God, and to weep in joy and gratitude and awe that He can forgive. And it comes from the blood of Christ. And that's why we have this psalm of gratitude. The psalm responds to the reading. I got one more minute. The refrain, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is Ori V'Yishui. He's my light and my salvation. So what am I afraid of? I don't have to be my light. I don't have to be my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You see, whom should I fear? The Lord, in this translation, is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate His temple. We can do that in icon. That's the contemplative, mystical life. But it's peanuts compared to seeing Him, being caught up in His embrace, having His life, the Trinitarian life, be the life that keeps us in existence for all eternity. That's where we're going, folks. And if we could ever get that clear, we could tell other people about it. Amen.